Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And today, as promised, we have the amazing Kelly from 11th Hour Rescue, who's going to be talking with us and explaining a lot of things about rescue dogs. Because, you know, it's funny how you have different people doing different things. And there's so many rescues out there. And people just, a lot of times, will call me and say, "Hey, Janice, I'm looking to adopt a dog. Who's a good rescue? Like, who has good dogs?" And I don't think it's important to know who has good dogs. I think it's important to know who has a good staff who's able to, you know, support you if you have a dog with a behavioral issue. Of course, if you're adopting a dog, and a lot of people are getting the dogs from Georgia, the Carolinas, Louisiana, Texas, Arizona, as we get. So it's not that there's something better or worse with a particular dog, because any rescue could have picked up that dog. But the key is, what happens, and what are those things that tend to kind of differentiate a shelter or a rescue that has a little bit higher quality of support once you get a dog and the dog has a behavioral issue. And that's why I love 11th Hour Rescue, and everybody who pretty much in the world knows that, because I'm very open about it. The dogs are great, but more importantly is when the dogs aren't great, they're there to support you. I think that a lot of it, and I want to start Kelly out because I really want her to give you a lot of information. First thing is, I don't think people realize really what is involved when you're adopting a dog, and sometimes people say, "Oh, that rescue, they ask too many questions." Well, if you have children and your children are going to go stay overnight at a friend's house, don't you want to know who the parents are so that you can have some follow-up and contact in case there's a problem? And, you know, if you don't know anything about the rescue, ask about the rescue. How many dogs have you placed? What's your success rate? What happens if I have a behavioral issue? Or what happens if I can't keep the dog? Do I have to find a place? Does the dog go to somebody else? How does that work? And it's a two-way street, so it's not just about them asking you questions, but you asking them questions as well. So I'm going to start that out for our amazing Tuesday show. For Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Kelly, welcome to the show. I've got a bunch of questions for you today.
Hi, Janice. Thanks for having me.
Well, we love to have you. You're our favorite guest, and you know that.
Well, you're our favorite behavioralist.
Thank you. One of the things I think is really important, I see a lot of people who get dogs, and it seems almost like they're kind of sent out blindly into the rescue world. They look at Pet Finder and other groups, and, you know, they're always trying to, you know, find, ooh, I like this dog better or that dog better. But I don't think people really notice or think about the rescue that is going to be giving them the dog. I've seen some pretty bad nightmares with dogs where, you know, where the dog will be, you know, like people will adopt them. And then they'll call the rescue, and the rescue's like, "Oh, we won't take the dog back." What are the policies that people should look out for? Not just with, you know, with 11th Hour or any of the other rescues up in Jersey area, but what in general are the questions that the person who wants to adopt should be asking about the dog and the rescue?
Well, that's good. I'm glad you brought that up because that whole topic can be very broad, and I feel like. People are always upset that, I don't want to say always, but often people say to me, "Why do I have to answer all these questions to get a dog?" But the thing is like, that dog's life is in my hands. That's my responsibility to ensure that that dog has a good life. And it's my responsibility to your household to make sure that you, your children, your family members, the other dogs in your life, that they're getting a dog that's going to fit in for you. So it's safe for everyone around. And, I can understand the irritation for all the things that we need to ask, but we stand by that. You know what I mean? So also, I think a good thing is that, you know, coming back to shelters not taking dogs back, you know, we're a rescue where, you know this, it's in our contract that if you don't want your dog, it has to come back to us. For whatever reason, it could be 15 years later. If your dog isn't a fit for you and you got it from us, it has to come back to us. because we always want to know where our dogs are and we want to ensure that they're safe. So I think some important things in looking at rescues to get dogs from is I think you should ask what the process is before the dog comes. Is there vetting? Are they going to be able to provide you with vetting records? You know, we quarantine all our dogs for at least 2 weeks, which I feel like is important, you know, and before they even come up here and they get a health certificate and all that. Some rescues don't do that. If this dog is entering your household with your other animals and your family members, wouldn't you want to know the vetting that the dog has received? And, you know, I'm trying to think of things about good rescues. I think good rescues are very in touch with their dogs. I think that they, you know, they're not going to lie to you. They're going to be honest about a dog's idiosyncrasies. I feel like, I guess it's with anything, like when you're speaking to a good rescue, I think you'll know. If it seems shady to you, like we're an open book. You can come meet our dogs at our rescue. You can call me. I give out my personal cell phone number usually. Like we don't have anything to hide. You know what I mean?
And that's great. So what are some questions that you started saying about vetting and things like that, which I think are really important because obviously, you know, if you want to make sure that the dog is going to be healthy,
right,
and, you know, it's not going to have any, you know, any physical issues unless you are looking for a special needs dog, which, you know, personally I've rescued a bunch of them and they're kind of fun, but,
right,
you know. What kind of questions should they ask about health and temperament things?
Well, I think that they should always ask, what kind of vetting did this dog receive before it was here? You know, how did it get here? Things like that. Does it have a health certificate if it's from out of state? You should always ask that. You should ask for the vet records. I think that that's important. You should adopt your dog with all of the vet records in the folder. I think that they should ask. Now, see, this is another thing, though, because people always ask me if a dog is house-trained, and my response is always, in the home it's in, but you can always expect accidents. If somebody guarantees you that a dog is house-trained, to me, that's bizarre, because they won't know how they'll react in your home. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like if a dog was an outside dog, you wouldn't really know that.
Right, or if the dog in the foster is house-trained in the foster's home, I may adopt the dog to you. How the heck is the dog going to know what it needs to do to be house-trained at your house until you teach it? You know?
True.
So I always follow that up with, it's house-trained in the foster's home, or it's house-trained where it is now, but you can expect accidents in your home. You know?
Yeah, I guess that's fair to the dog, too, you know, if you
yes.
think about it.
Because to be honest with you, Janice, two of my dogs came and never had an accident in my home. But that doesn't mean that others won't, you know?
No, that's very good. That's very good thought. Now, how about if the dog has special needs? Let's say a dog already, they know it has a particular issue. Is that something that, like, let's say the dog has bad hips. Is that something that the rescue would pay for typically? Or
yes, we would. If a dog comes and has any issues when it comes to us, and needs any vetting problems, like let's say it tested positive for Lyme or heartworm or anything like that, we always take care of that. Now, that doesn't mean 3 years later, you know, but that just means like upon adoption, whatever issues there are. If you call me a week later and you're like, listen, this dog has this horrible cough, that's only a week out. Of course we're going to take care of that, you know what I mean, whether it came from us or not. So things like that, I feel like you should always honor. If a dog comes up and needs surgery and it enters our rescue knowing that it needs surgery, we're paying for that surgery, you know?
Wow, that's awesome. But that's also just 11th hour. It might not be everyone.
Yeah, and that's why we always have so many vet bills.
Yes, you do. Well, everybody stay tuned because we're going to keep Kelly here for the whole show today. We will be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044 and tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dogs to Service Dogs with Janice Wolf and the inimitable Kelly from 11th Hour Rescue. And we are talking dogs. We're talking about rescue dogs and how you can know what you should be doing when you go and get a dog. And Kelly, I've got one of those nagging questions that I always ask people when they're from a rescue, and I've gotten some pretty interesting kind of responses back.
Okay.
What exactly is the policy on most, or on, you know, yours, but on most rescue dogs, as far as if a dog has been turned in, let's say a dog's been turned in by a family because the dog had, let's say, food aggression.
Right.
And let's say the way you're doing things, you find that the dog is fine because you temperament test it, and of course in the 2 months it's not going to probably do anything. But now it goes into a home, and let's say it was temperament tested only with humans, and it wasn't temperament tested with other dogs. And now
we would never place
a
dog we didn't test with other dogs.
Oh, well, that's you. That's you guys.
Okay.
What happens when a dog, let's say, has a behavioral issue that it didn't exhibit when you had it, and now let's say it's 2 months later? What would the, like, let's say with your show, with your rescue or others, what would typically happen to that?
Okay, so you're saying if somebody adopts a dog from us and 2 months out it has issues.
Right, behavioral issues.
Okay, behavioral issues. Well, we would, if they call, hopefully they will call us, and like they should, and they can speak to, we have some great volunteer trainers who can give them tips. After that, I'm probably going to tell them to call you.
Yeah. But what do most places do? Like, in other words, what I find with a lot of my clients, is they get a dog, they've got the dog 2 months, 6 months, a year, and it has behavioral issues, and they think of giving it up or euthanizing it. What is your contract? Like, how do people get into contract, and what does the contract typically say about that? Like,
oh, our contract says that the dogs have got to come back to us. If you send a dog off to be euthanized, if you rehome it yourself, if you give it to your vet, your sister, your cousin, your neighbor, you are breaking our contract. If you don't want that dog for whatever reason, that dog must legally come back to us. And I'll tell you what, Janice, we have taken people to court over it before and won.
Wow. Well, that's awesome because you guys really stand behind the dog. But like, what you and I had spoken a little about that. What happens when there's a dog that has, you know, let's say it has a behavioral issue, and let's say it's aggression, and let's say, you know, it didn't exhibit that particular behavior when it was at either, you know, your place or somebody else, because you guys are so on top of things. But I've seen this where, you know, people get really kind of, you know, angry. They're like angry that, oh, well, you know, you gave me a bad dog. Well, I mean, first of all, you wanted that dog. But what are some tests that you guys typically put the dog through to ensure as much as is humanly possible that the dog doesn't have any behavioral issues or anything serious?
Well, I just want to state first and foremost that if we place a dog with issues in a home, it is absolutely not intentional. We would never do that on purpose. It would simply be because you and I both know that a dog may not be the dog that it really is until months into the home.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So, and that's why we always tell people this dog will not be the dog that you adopted until however long from now. But this is the dog that we know. We test for food aggression. We try to take away food to know. You know what I mean? Like, put your hand in. We don't use the rubber hands. I know sometimes people do. We don't.
I bite that thing.
I know. Yeah.
You ever noticed I've never seen a rubber hand with five fingers.
No, me either.
I have five fingers still on my hand that I've stuffed into dog's mouth, but I've never seen a rubber hand with more than two or three fingers.
It's true. Also, though, a lot of the testing is done. We pull from places that we have long-standing relationships from. So there's somebody in Tennessee. There's somebody in Georgia. There's many people in each of those states, but I'm just saying there are people that we trust that know that I just simply cannot take a dog who has dog issues. I cannot take a dog who doesn't like children. I cannot take a dog who will bite somebody. Having said that, of course, once in a while, they turn out later on to be a dog that does have those issues, you know? So the testing is done down there. Then the dog comes up here and we do it. We introduce it to dogs. You cannot adopt our dog without our dog meeting all your animals and all the people in your household.
Awesome. That's great to hear because I think a lot of places, and also adoption fees. Can you talk about adoption fees?
Sure.
I feel like Joan Rivers. I feel so bad that she's not around anymore. Can we talk?
Yeah,
can we talk about adoption fees?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you take a dog and run it through, and I know this because I rescue as well, I know sometimes, you have a dog and it winds up with $10,000 of bills. And what is your adoption fee?
Our adoption fee is $325.
$325, and that would cover. And,
okay,
and
so that insurance.
Know
right, that would
from evaluating the dog.
Yep.
Transporting the dog.
Yes.
Feeding the dog.
Yep.
Vetting, spay, neuter the dog.
Yes.
Taking care of any health issues or physical issues. And how much do you make on $325?
Well, ideally, I would like to make $100 a dog to continue saving dogs. Realistically, sometimes I make $20, so.
And realistically, sometimes you wind up spending
$8,000. If you look at our vet bills, we haven't made anything.
And obviously, that's not why you're...
But you know what, though? You know what? I think that that's important to remember, though, that if we don't make money, we can't save more dogs.
Right.
So it's not about us wanting money. We don't pay ourselves. It's about us needing money to continue to rescue dogs. So we have to try to make some sort of profit on that dog because that goes right into the pot to save another dog, or to pay vet bills or whatever.
Yeah, and, I see some of these places, $600, $800, crazy amounts. But I can understand even some of the high ones because they put so much time in. I think it's an important distinction between a rescue and a shelter. A shelter doesn't typically put anything into the dog other than throwing some food at it.
Right.
And if it's, they usually don't even spay the dog or neuter it unless it's getting adopted because they don't want to put the money in. Even
right.
For that, and then have to euthanize a dog that they can't find a place for. But in general, I think that we next segment, I really want to talk about the difference between shelter dogs that you're getting versus from a rescue group, because I think it's a huge distinction, and I don't think people really understand, that what a shelter's purpose is versus a rescue's purpose.
Right.
Maybe we can. Give a little bit of talk to that later. But basically, I think, the main thing is that people need to understand is when you're getting a dog, no matter where you're getting the dog, whether you're going to a breeder, like I breed Rhodesian Ridgebacks, Grand Champion, Champion,
and
yada,
they're so
yada,
beautiful.
I just went out. I literally just got home from a lovely, lovely lady. I have one of my Ridgeback puppies who is just a sweetheart but is amazing, has an incredible nose. And already at 4.5 months of age, managed to find the seizure activity and the area of swelling in the gentleman's head. And this puppy is 4.5 months old. She's already doing that. But I meet with people, I go to their home, go for a visit, I get two personal references and their vet's reference. I call people and ask them to make sure that everybody is as good as they say. And, you know, it's really just something that I think is incumbent on us rescuers that we make sure that the dogs we do take go into a good situation. So we're going to talk more in a moment with Kelly from 11th Hour Rescue. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And we're asking Kelly the most difficult question of the day, and then we're going to also talk in a little bit about some great adoptable dogs from 11th Hour Rescue. First of all, Kelly, in your own delightful words, tell me, what do you think is the biggest difference between getting a dog from a shelter, whether it's a local shelter or directly from a shelter that you're getting a dog, you know, on transport, you've never met the dog? As I see that all the time where people just adopt a dog, they've never met the dog, they look at the dog and they go, oh, look how cute, I want it. What's the difference between a typical shelter and a typical rescue group?
Well, I would say if you walk into a shelter, which I just want to say, though, that, you know, that's still an important thing to do because you're still saving a life. Having said that, I feel that a rescue is a better situation for people because if you walk into a shelter and you take a dog, they've probably done nothing most of the time. And there's no vetting. You don't know what the dog could have. I mean, there can't be a quarantine because it's in the area with the other dogs, you know? And I know sometimes they do a behavioral assessment, like NYACC does that. I honestly don't know how good that assessment is. I'm just saying they do it. But not all of them, just that particular place. And but we have vetted the dog. We've guaranteed you that the dog is in good health at this time to the best of our ability and our vet's knowledge. We can approximate an age based on what the vet says. Most of our volunteers and our other dogs have socialized it. It very often might have been in one of our foster homes, and we've also had a foster or somebody spend time with it before it came here. So I just feel that we're armed with a lot more information about the dog medically and behaviorally.
Wow, that's excellent. And what do you think about, and I mean, obviously you and I are rescuers. We want every dog to be rescued. We want no dogs to end up in any shelters. We want
right.
there to not be a need for a shelter ever again because people don't abandon their dogs when they have problems.
Right.
Not that I'm, you know, particularly judgmental on that, but I am. And it really bugs me, though. But I've seen so many of my clients who, oh, I look at this puppy on Pet Finder. Oh, it's so cute. I'm going to get it. And I feel that's like looking at a guy's picture on a dating website, and then, like, you meet him a week later, and he moves in, and you're getting married. Like,
yeah, you're
whoa!
Right. That's weird. Yes.
I would like to meet you first. What do you find or what do you feel about, you know, that kind of concept of just seeing the dog and not having anybody to be able to check out that dog or, you know, for you? Is that, you know, something that is okay, or does that come back and bite you in the rear end sometimes?
Well, I'm going to say that probably doesn't work out as often as you would like it to, because I know that it's not our policy to adopt a dog, like, right off of transport. If we do, it's very rare, and the dog's been in a foster in the South for an extended period of time, and the foster in the South, or wherever the home may be, has been speaking to our adopter. You know what I mean? So they've had a lot of communication. So, but I don't know. I know that I can speak for myself. I took a dog, one of my dogs, who I love dearly. Her name is Chicken Nugget. I took her out of a shelter in Patterson. I love Chicken Nugget. Chicken Nugget is a jerk. Not with people, but with other dogs. And she has separation anxiety. You know this. I've told you this about her. And it's been a long, hard struggle. Had I taken the dog from the rescue, that probably would have been different, but I just saw her and grabbed her out of the shelter. You know what I mean?
Right. And we got to
work on that. Now, I would rather die than give her up. I know, I would rather die than give her up, but I feel that you and I are probably, unfortunately, in the minority.
Yeah, and that's the problem. I think that people don't understand. They're looking for something easy and something that's going to be a very uncomplicated situation. And people, I just think, don't really understand, you know, how dogs change. And, you know, really according to who they're with and, you know, what's around them and what animals they're around. One of the things that we do at Merlin's Kids, MERLINSKIDS.org, 855-HI-WYATT, is we allow people to see if they even want to have even the best dog in the world by letting people foster for us for anywhere from a month up to sometimes a year. A lot of them are short-term, and we're always talking about having people who maybe have just recently lost a pet, and they're not quite ready to, you know, to give their love again, but they want to have that empty feeling in the house kind of abolished and vanished very quickly. So some people will do that, and some people also want to have the option of, you know, seeing if the dog is going to work out before they actually you know, adopt the dog, because it is, some people take the commitment very seriously. And, you know, you think about it, if you're a young couple, you're like 25, you got married a year ago, you're trying to have a baby, and then you say, oh, let's go and get, like, a little puppy. Now, it's a great idea to get a little puppy, but think about it, that puppy, if you get pregnant right away, that puppy is going to be, you know, 11 months old when that baby is born, and 11-month-old dog is not really mature enough yet for anybody, you know, to not be spending time with it. So that's the kind of situation where you might want to foster a dog. And then, you know, if some places, and I'm sure 11th Hour would do this as well, if you foster a dog and you fall in love with the dog, you can adopt the dog.
Of course. That is ideal.
Dog, yeah. If you don't fall in love with a dog and you think, oh, you know, this is just a really nice dog, or it's too much for me, or I love it, then you give the dog back. I just had that happen to somebody in Michigan who wanted a dog, went out in public with my service dog, who, you know, is beautiful, my Savannah, one of my many beautiful Ridgebacks, and the woman is like, oh, I didn't know that this was going to bring, you know, people were going to be looking at us. Like, yeah, you know, when you have an 80 or 100-pound dog in a big red service vest that, you know, that says service dog, it kind of brings attention to you. I mean, I don't like it, but that's what happens. And she was just like, well, that's not what I want. So, I mean, I think things like that could be so easily avoided when you just can kind of borrow the dog and foster the dog for a short time. And I'm sure if Kelly can give her contact information, and then we'll talk about some of the dogs in the next two segments, about the different dogs that are available for adoption through 11th Hour. So Kelly, we'll definitely talk about that. But, one thing I did want to kind of briefly cover is if you have a rescue dog, and if you get the dog through 11th Hour or any other rescue, we at United Canine Professionals, 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS, 855-4-K-9-PROS, we have that 800 number that's operable for anyone. There is no charge for it, and somebody on our board, one of about 6 or 7 people who are all behavioral experts, will help you on the phone. So it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what state or what country. We even have people in Bulgaria and Mexico and England and Ireland and France and crazy places in the southern hemisphere as well, where we're on opposite seasons from them. The key is to make sure that if you get a dog, that you have that commitment in your heart, in your soul, that you are going to do that. And if you need help, you call United Canine Professionals. If you rescue a dog, you need to go back to the rescue or shelter and tell them, especially a rescue, because a rescue isn't going to put your dog to sleep. A shelter, probably, if they hear that, your dog just bit somebody, you might have the dog put to sleep. So we're going to be right back in a moment with Kelly, and she's going to tell us about some great adoptable dogs at 11th Hour. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And we're talking to Kelly from 11th Hour Rescue. Kelly's amazing. And the rescue, really, it is my favorite rescue. And, I mean, there are some great rescues out there, but these guys are just the love and the compassion and the professionalism that I think that they have that so many of the others don't have. Again, it's about rescuing any dog from anywhere. But when you have a problem, it's really nice to have a group that, you can call back and they'll get back to you and they'll help you and they'll give you our number, our 800 number also, so you'll be able to help your dog and not have to give the dog up. I think most people who adopt a dog or who purchase a dog, I don't think they're thinking of giving the dog up when they get the dog, but I think a lot of people are impractical. A husband who brings home a big hairy German Shepherd Husky mix and the wife has white carpeting and is a clean freak, that might not be the right kind of dog, because even if it's the best dog in the world, the wife is going to be like, oh, get it away from my furniture. Ooh, it's got hair all over. So that might be, a little white, fluffy dog that might work out well that's, not going to be shedding. Or if you're, the kind of person who wants to go out and go hunting or hiking or bicycling or jogging, don't get yourself, a three-legged, chihuahua that's, 19 years old, because unless you're going to put it in your basket of your bicycle, it's probably not going to be the right kind of situation. So try to imagine what kind of dog would be good and what would fit into your lifestyle and situation. And if you get that feeling of, well, this might not be the best dog, but get rid of the but. This might not be the best dog. Save a life. Whichever life you save, save a life. So, Kelly, tell me about some of the great lives you've been saving with 11th Hour. What do we got that's, let's go for the easy, uncomplicated dogs. Give me a couple of easy, uncomplicated dogs that people can you know, apply for and have a great dog.
Okay, well, I wanted to tell you about Jasmine. She's a senior. She's 8. And she is easy peasy, this dog. She is like a black lab, but she's mixed with something because she's smaller than a black lab. But she looks like a miniature black lab. And we got her, we actually got a call from the shelter in Georgia. Her owner had gone to prison. And she got dumped at the shelter. And they told us, you have to take this dog. She is perfect. She is so sweet. And she's being fostered by Linda, who founded our rescue. And in Linda's home, she's house trained. She's crate trained. She's great with other dogs. She loves people. She loves children. And she is just so easy, this dog, and she's so great, and she just really deserves a great home.
So she's about 8 years old and a super, super easy dog. And this might be a really good dog if somebody's thinking of getting a dog and they're saying, you know, I go, we're only going to be in the United States for 5 years or 6 years. Or,
right.
You know, we want to have a dog that's going to be good with our kids or grandkids.
Right.
And, you know, I love getting the seniors. I adopted Muti, Tara, and Sunka, who were 3 Ridgebacks. Muti was 12 when we adopted him, and Sunka and Tara were 10 and a half. Muti lived till 16 years old.
Oh, that's
Ridgeback.
Wonderful.
16. So I had him for a little over four years, and then Tara lived to 15 and a half. So I had her for 5 years, and then Sunka, her sister, just passed away about a week or two short of her 16th birthday. So these seniors can live a long time, especially if it's a nice size, like it sounds like Jasmine is. So this is a great dog for a young couple, possibly for an older person who doesn't want a high-energy dog and, you know, has maybe a little backyard that they can let the dog run around. But the dog shouldn't be punished. It's a shame that the owner had to go to prison. But it's really a shame for the dogs who have wound up in prison and in a shelter. And so Jasmine sounds like a great dog. Somebody, call. Kelly, what is the number people can contact you at 11th Hour Rescue?
You know what? I actually don't know what our hotline number is. I'm worthless. But they can find it on www.ehrdogs.org.
11th Hour Rescue, EHR.
Yeah, and the only reason I don't know it is because I've never had to call it. Isn't that ridiculous? So, but they can email EHR applications.
855-HIGH-WYATT if you're interested, and we'll refer you over to Kelly. It's EHR, like 11th Hour Rescue, EHR.org. So if somebody went on the website, they'd be able to get that too?
Yes, ehrdogs.org, and they can find all the information for about fostering. They can fill out an application. They can email any of the emails, and chances are I'll get them. Our number is on there. If they leave a voicemail, somebody writes all the voicemails out. They listen to them. They write them all out, and then we get them in an email, so I'll see the voicemail too.
Awesomeness. Okay. I'll pick up that number for everybody as well. Okay, so let's hear another dog. Tell me about another great adoptable dog.
Okay, well, now on the other end of that, let's talk about 2 adorable lab puppies we have coming. We have 2 9-week-old puppies coming.
Aww.
I got a call from the woman in Georgia who they were found in a trailer park. And she took them in, and she's been taking care of them. She's been socializing them with her dogs and her children and everything. One is black, one is white, and their names are Mork and Mindy.
Oh, especially with Robin Williams.
I know. That's why we did it.
And so tell us about, one is a white lab? They're both labs?
They're lab mixes. The white looks a little more like a hound, but the black is definitely a lab. And the black looks like it has little stubby legs, like it might be mixed with something smaller. And the white is like a white lab, but she's got a little brown on her. She looks maybe like a little bit like a hound. They're definitely mutts, but they are cute.
Well, you know, people I don't think even realize that, you know, that dogs can have, and I spoke about this on our Friday show, a lot of times dogs, a female dog can be impregnated by more than just one male. So
yes.
Sometimes that's really, you know, one of those You know, okay, you've got a Yorkie as a father and a German Shepherd as a father. And yes, you can have, the mother can be impregnated by two or even three dogs. You know, it's like kind of the Jerry Springer thing going with, or Maury Povich thing going, where you have the dogs who are kind of like the hoe dogs.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, you know, it's definitely something like that that is, I think, is really, really important. So anyway, let's see, you know, if we can try to, you know, work on that and try to get one of those cute little puppies, you know, that'll be adoptable. And oh, by the way, if anybody adopts a dog from today's show, from our 11th hour rescue show that we do about once a month, if we can keep Kelly here, one of the great things is you get 50% off any of our behavioral services from 11th hour for 11th hour rescue through United Canine Professionals. So that's pretty cool thing, you know. It's a great thing. So how? Let me see. I think we might have to come back in our next little session here, because I think we've got the time expired in a moment. And then we'll come back with a couple of other adoptable dogs, and we'll do, like we always do, too easy, too difficult, and too special needs. We'll come back in a moment, and we'll have that phone number for you for 11th Hour Rescue in just a moment. So please stay tuned. We will be right back.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
Welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, Kelly, we're talking dogs, and we're talking about adoptable dogs at 11th Hour Rescue, so definitely let's see if we can get a couple of these great dogs adopted out so we can save some more. Are you still with me, Kelly?
Oh, yeah, I'm still with you. I'm sorry. I was waiting for to hear what section of dogs you wanted. Do you want the two, like, difficult ones?
Oh, whatever your little heart
desires. Okay. All right. I just didn't want to do dogs you didn't want me to. Okay. So, you know what? I actually want to talk about Brett. Brett is a fantastic dog. And when Brett came to us, he's like a little black mouth cur Basenji thing. And he's 4 years old. And he's super cute. He's also being fostered by Linda, actually. So today's a Linda dog day. And he came and he had issues, and he was fearful of people and everything, and he had gotten much better. He was able to meet new people. He was doing well with them. I felt like he was really working towards adoption. He was great with other dogs. And then one day, under the control of our trainer, he was with a dog. He had been with Janice so many times. I can't tell you how many times he had played with this dog. And they got in a fight. And they got in a really bad one, and he got hurt. And he had to heal. He had to be stitched up and everything. And now, he doesn't seem to like dogs.
Oh, poor Brett.
And I'm so sad for him because he's such a great dog, and he is great with people and everything still, but I just don't know. We're going to have to work towards getting him to like dogs again. So that's sort of like a dog who has an issue, you know what I mean? Who I do think has the potential to be fantastic, but had an experience that set him back.
And that happens a lot where, you know, people don't understand if they do something. A lot of people just let the play go to such an extreme that they do have dogs, you know, that are going to fight. Because a dog is going to naturally, you know, if it gets scared or if it gets a feeling like it's intimidated, it's going to have to protect itself. So, like, poor Brett, we can work with that. That's something that, you know, United Canine Professionals, and that's what we do, and I do that all the time, like, literally every day. And it's about building that connection so that the new owner should be building a connection back to that dog to teach the dog and to teach any dog that dog might start playing with, hey, buddy, this is too much. This is too much. Don't play so hard. It's not okay to play like that. Now, by the way, I have a phone number for 11th Hour Rescue.
Oh, I had gotten that, too.
973-664-0865. I don't know if you have another one, but it's 973.
No, that's the one.
Okay, 973-664-0865. And it's EHR, like 11th Hour Rescue, dog.org. Right? It's a dog or dogs?
EHR dogs, S.
Dogs with an S, D-O-G-S. And now I'm saying dogs like Kelly talking dogs.
I know, my Jersey
it's
accent
EHR
is so bad.
EHRdogs.org. All righty, so let's go with some of the other dogs that might be available.
Okay, so, you know what? I have a really cute corgi mix who's coming.
Oh, adorable.
Yeah, and she is a legitimate corgi mix. She's so cute. Her name is Baby Girl, and she's between 5 and 6 years old. She's 20 pounds. She loves dogs. She came in with Sassy, who's a Chi, who's 2 years old and 15 pounds. They don't seem to be bonded, but they do like each other. So they can go together or they don't have to, Baby Girl and Sassy. And they're from Tennessee, and they were surrendered to one of the women that we get dogs from a lot, and she is fantastic, and her temperament testing is on point. So they're coming. They'll be coming next weekend, and they're fantastic. If somebody could take them both home, that would be great. If not, they'd be happy to go to other homes as well.
Cool. All right. That sounds like a good one, too. All right, give us some more. Let's keep going until we get to the end of our show here.
Baby Girl. Okay, and then let's see who else we have. I brought up. Oh, we have Gunner. Oh, Gunner is so cute. He is like an 8 to 12-month Boston Terrier mix. He's only 12 and a half pounds.
Cute.
I know. He's so cute. He's friendly, and he's really active, so he likes to have fun. We just had his cherry eye surgery done. So they don't have to worry about that. So in one of his pictures, I think he has cherry eye, but we did just have the surgery done.
Okay,
so
great.
That was good.
And
then
he's a young dog, and he's, what color is he? Is he black and white or brindle and white?
He's brindle and white. And he's only 12 and a half pounds. He's so cute.
Aww. Come on, you guys who want a portable dog. Here's a 12-and-a-half-pound dog. That's a Rhodesian Ridgeback at, like, 3 weeks for about 30 seconds, and it's not.
I know, right? Oh,
all
and
right,
then we have Carl. Oh, my
cute.
God, Carl is so beautiful.
What kind is he?
Carl is a red, white, and black Aussie mix.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. He's only 28 pounds, and
good.
He looks like a little tiny Aussie. He's so cute. He's between 5 and 6 years old, and he lived on a chain until the ACO removed him.
Oh.
I know.
Poor baby.
But he's really sweet, and he really likes other dogs, and he's very laid back. So he'd be really good for somebody who doesn't.
A laid back Aussie? How old is he?
He's between 5 and 6, but he's a mix.
Okay.
So he's very, and he's not large, and he doesn't jump. He's very, very easy. Like, he doesn't really want, I actually think he would prefer not to have to run with you. You know what I mean?
Wow. Is he good with children?
He is good with children, yes.
Good. Maybe we'll turn him into a sensory-seeking dog. He sounds awesome.
I agree. And then do you want another one?
Yeah, as many as
okay.
we can.
And then we have Kojak. Kojak he's between 6 and 8 months. He's 32 pounds. He's a chocolate lab mix. He's very active. He's very hyper, so he needs an active home. When I tell you his face is so beautiful, he's got that chocolate lab face, that chocolate lab color, and then his paws are like white with dots.
Like
so he's mixed with something, maybe pointer. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's so cute. And but he needs to go to somebody who will exercise him. You know what I mean?
But he's young, too, right?
Yes, he's between 6 and 8 months. So.
All right. So he's a young dog. So if you got somebody who's a young couple who says, you know, 4 or 5 years, we want to have a kid, this might be the perfect dog for you. And he sounds adorable. And that's Kojak.
Yes, he's really cute.
All right.
And then,
let's get another one.
Okay, we have Lupa. She is, I don't know what else to call her other than a red lab. She looks like a lab, but she's like this pretty red color. But
okay,
she really looks...
Fox red lab. There's actually a breed.
Is there?
Or a color variation, which is a variation of the yellow. And the red fox or fox red labs look like labs, but they're a red color. So that's a very rare dog and a pretty expensive dog. So you guys can... grab Lupa, and it sounds like you're going to get a good value, too.
Yeah, she's between 5 and 6 months, so she's young.
Maybe.
She needs leash work, though. She doesn't love the leash. She needs some work on the leash. She pulls, you know what I mean?
Well, who likes wearing a brassiere? You know,
I mean, it's true. You're right.
So Lupa sounds like she'd be also a good dog for somebody who's a little bit active and who, you know, wants to take a little bit of time and... she's young, so you can train her to do what you want her to do. That sounds good one, too.
I agree. She's beautiful. And then I know you like the hounds.
I love my hounds.
We have Sanders. He's between a year or two. He's 40 pounds, and he's a male red tick.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. He's so beautiful. He is so friendly and so beautiful, and he's so good on the leash.
Okay. I think I might be interested in him.
He's so beautiful.
He sounds good. Well, we've got to let everybody get our information here. So, do you still have the number, the 973?
Yes, it is. Hang on, I just wrote it down. How sad am I that I don't know that off the top of my head? I'm a loser. Okay, it's 973-664-0865. They can call us and leave us a message about any of the dogs or any questions that they have.
Or any dog, or if you don't want a dog, you can have a dog.
Very funny.
But you guys all, we appreciate everybody being here every week for our show, and I get a lot of phone calls from people, and they're always shocked, and they're like, I can't believe it. You're like the owner of the company, and you answer the phone. I'm like, well, yeah. I'm not only the hair club president, I'm also a client.
You're also a member,
but,
right?
but, you know, seriously, anybody who rescues any of the dogs that we featured today gets a 50% off discount if we have to come to your house. And anybody who rescues any dog or has any behavioral issue, you can call our 855-4-K-9-PROS, and we will help you with your dog over the phone at no charge. We are about making sure that we don't have so many dogs that get dumped in shelters and that great people like Kelly and all of her people have to get involved with. It would be wonderful if people would just have responsibility and either don't get a dog in the first place. Certainly, please, dear God, spay and neuter your dogs, especially if you have a top show dog. You're not going to let your top show dog, like I've got Wyatt, you know, Wispa, Willa. I mean, all my dogs, I don't let them get pregnant by the neighbor's German Shepherd, lab, border collie mix. I mean, you know, so it's really, you guys who are adopting dogs, please, or if you buy something, whatever, please spay and neuter. It's better for the dogs. Don't do it at 2 months, but please do it and be responsible, because there's just too many great dogs being euthanized, and it's just because people just don't care, and they're careless. So, you know, you can call us at UnitedCanineProfessionals.com if you have any questions. Or merlinskids.org if you want to turn one of those great dogs that Kelly told you about into a service dog or a therapy dog or a therapeutic facilitation or behavioral intervention dog in the schools or a cancer detection dog, which is what we do as well. Please adopt one of these great dogs and make your mind up that you've got to do it the right way. Don't just get a dog because you go, oh, it's cheaper than a Christmas gift. Get something that's going to be the best buddy you ever had. And we really appreciate everyone listening. Kelly, I love you. I will see you on Thursday. You are the best.
I can't wait to see you. Thanks for having me.
We're going to go out, and anybody who wants to join Kelly and me in New Jersey, give us a call at the 855-HI-WYATT, and we'll hook you up, okay? Love you, and take care, and please have a wonderful, safe, happy, healthy week. God bless.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.